We have a title for our time together. Tonight it's called Enjoying Our God Together. Well, that's a great title for this curious methodology that we have now for spending time together in the presence of God. But nevertheless, it's a huge encouragement to us. And this passage that we're going to look at together this evening, it encourages us, but there's an even stronger word there. It exhorts us. It throws us on down the track of Christian living and discipleship and opening our hearts and minds and understanding to the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we might enjoy our God together. When you look at that word, enjoy, it's not a light thing, is it? It's sometimes used fairly lightly of things that we might like to do or that we might like to eat or to spend our time thinking about. But in this context, the togetherness of the people of God, what this whole passage seems to call for is that we bring together our hearts, our minds, and our very beings to know the joy of the Lord, which throughout Scripture is the strength of God's people and the mighty hand that upholds us. In our study tonight, we want to spend time knowing, not guessing or not being uncertain, but knowing that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms, and that we have a Saviour who will hold us always. So if you look in the passage, we're not going to touch on this bit just yet, but from verse 23 to verse 25, I was looking for a word to try and describe it, and the only one I could come up with is it's full of usness. It talks about let us and what we shall do together. As we come in the joy of the Lord to our God together. And geography and the sight of each other only on the screen doesn't inhibit the great and swelling joy with which this writer comes to the section, which is a conclusion really to everything that he said about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ to these Hebrew Christians. And we'll look at this under three headings. So our first heading, which covers verses 19 to 21, is summed up very simply. It's therefore, brothers. Therefore. So if you look at verse 19, the writer says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Now, let's not mistake here that all of this needs to be seen in the context of everything that the writer to the Hebrews has already said, and the people to whom he is writing. Everything that has gone before, right from the start of Hebrews, says, because God has spoken to us. We live in a day of great individuality, and it's right that we become Christians, that we are moved from death to life as individual. But God has been very kind to us in setting us together in families and in churches. Because God has spoken to us by his Son, because he set the Lord Jesus Christ above all powers, above angels, above Moses, says the writer, above the law, and essentially because death is beaten in Christ. Therefore, we have confidence. And our confidence is not in ourselves, and it could never be. It's the confidence in the Lord Jesus, firstly, to enter the most holy place. So this is written to Hebrew Christians, believers undoubtedly in the Lord Jesus, but with all that background in the law, in the temple, and in this case, in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, we have confidence in the Lord Jesus to enter where the high priest could only go once a year with the bottom of his robe surrounded with bells so that the people could hear. He was not blasted out of existence before a holy God. And yet we have confidence where they had no confidence because of the blood of Jesus. And let us make a great deal of this in these days, that these words are plural, they're corporate. We together, all of us, as I look at your faces, we enter the most holy place together, having confidence in the blood of Jesus. And the writer says we have confidence to enter through the curtain. That is his body. Back in Colossians, the Apostle Paul says to his readers there that it pleased God that in Jesus Christ all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell bodily. And here the Hebrews, here the fullness of Christ includes the fact that he is the way in which we enter into the presence of the Most High. We have confidence to enter only through him, only through his body. This marvelous mystery that is held as the mystery of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus Christ is at one time, never separate, fully God and fully man, and that even yet in heaven we have one of us, perfect, fully God and fully man, who is in our, who is our intercessor before the throne. And we see in the crucifixion, if you remember, if you've gone through all those events, you will remember that the curtain, the veil of the temple, is split in two. It is torn from top to bottom. That very barrier that prevented men from being in the presence of God. And it's split in two, and God says to his people tonight, come, not in some slavish fear, not in some self-righteousness, but come having confidence in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And come, have confidence, therefore, brothers, because we have a great high priest. Writer to the Hebrews in that first section that Cara read so helpfully to us has spent time and detail in showing them that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed our great high priest. This one who has, in his own body, presented to the Father the only, complete, unrepeatable, all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. Not simply for the acts of sin, but for the very disease itself. We've gone through quite a steep learning curve recently, haven't we, about the difference between a disease or illness and the symptoms of it. And people have been watching for sore throats or coughs or temperatures or flu-like symptoms. But those are symptoms, they're not the disease itself. And the sins that we so easily fall into, they're symptoms. And they're symptoms of a dreadful disease. But the Lord Jesus Christ has put to death that disease, not simply for the acts committed or not undertaken when they should have been, not simply for the thoughts, but so that the disease might be put to death, so that him who is the author of all evil might have his head crushed by the seed of the woman. And everything has been done. The disease is finished. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what the day will be like, maybe in a little while yet, when they say the disease is beaten? But Christian, your disease is beaten in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that was necessary has been done for us to enter God's presence confidently, boldly. Charles Wesley writes such well-known words. He left his father's throne above, so free, to infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for, oh my God, it found out me. And he closes, doesn't he? Bold, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. And so we move to our second point in verses 22 to 23. Let us draw near to God. Oh, I encourage you tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us draw near to God. Psalm 73, verse 28 sums up what our verses say. Those who are far from you will surely perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to draw near to God. I have made the Lord my God my refuge, that I may proclaim all your deeds. Remember some years ago hearing those verses preached on, and the very godly and able man opening them up said that these verses to Christian people together are like a cheering crowd. Because it is good for us, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever life holds, whatever mysteries there might be, to draw near to God. And to draw near, says our passage, with a sincere heart. With the very center of everything that we are. Not simply in some formal sense, or just with our lips. But let us draw near with the words of that flawed Apostle Peter ringing in our ears. Two incidences. In the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus had been teaching his disciples, and they say, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And John goes on, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. You believe and know that. Or so you may draw near with a sincere heart. And we may draw near with full assurance, being washed clean. How is that? Because we have the complete assurance and confidence in our perfect great high priest. Because his resurrection is the statement for all who will look that our God is perfectly satisfied with his perfect son's perfect sacrifice. Be assured, be clean, and draw near together. Again, back in the Psalms, in Psalm 122, we read, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, we might be separated. We might be at the mercies of the internet. But tonight, there is nothing more certain than all those who trust in Christ. Our feet are standing in the gates of the heavenly Jerusalem. And aren't you glad about it? Christian, however you feel, whatever your emotions are telling you, whatever your circumstances are, let us come together in full assurance, washed amazingly clean, not just with water, but with the blood of the lovely Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, let us spur one another on, encourage one another, always with your eyes on the day. Well, there have been special days, haven't there? We had VE Day on Friday, and I was only thinking the other day of D-Day and events like that, with your eyes fixed on the day. But what about this day? because of all we have been given, all we have been rescued from, all the greatness of our salvation, and above all, because the Lord Jesus Christ is who he is and loves us with such burning zeal. The writer says, let us throw each other hard and fast, but with gentle hearts, down the track which leads to the Lord Jesus and his glorious presence forevermore. It's some years ago now, and there are some people on Zoom tonight who will remember it. The group of children and I, during the evening services, read through a wonderful picture version of Pilgrim's Progress. And we had a moment where Christian is on a very dark track in the middle of the night, and evil is hemming him around. And he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet you will be with me. And the children shouted gloriously. And you might have heard it if you'd been in the service. They just said, stay on the path, Christian. What wise words. Let us spur one another on much to stay on the path, to think much of the Lord Jesus, to fill our eyes from horizon to horizon with the lovely Son of God. I'm sure very many of us have greatly appreciated this ability to meet virtually. It's been of enormous encouragement for us to see and hear so many. But many will long too to be physically together again. And the writer to the Hebrews says clearly, do it from a sincere heart. Do it with all your heart. When I was a young lad and wondering what to do with my life in terms of a job, my very wise father said to me, it doesn't really matter what you do, but whatever you do, do it with all your heart. And if you end up just digging a hole, dig a good hole. Tonight, let us come together to enjoy our God together with all of our heart, with no restraints, with not being held back from the joy of Christ. This meeting together of God's people in Christ remains one of the greatest indications of our hope for and this gospel's inclusive, glorious power. And in that, it's shown in a public manner. It is full of usness. It is corporate. It is wholehearted. It is seeking the good of others. It is for Christ. And it is where Christ himself has promised his special presence. Why would we want to be anywhere else? John Calvin, the great reformer, has a very insightful comment on this passage. He says, there is a disease which reigns throughout the human race, that everyone prefers themselves to others. There is so much peevishness. What a great word. There is so much peevishness in almost everyone that individuals, if they could, would gladly make their own churches for themselves. And yet, let that be far from us. Let us be the people of Christ who love him and serve him, and let us meet in him to enjoy him, to honor him, to spur one another on in him, so that we will have much to rejoice in on that day. Scottish Puritan Samuel Rutherford had his letters versified by a number of hymn writers, and there's one verse that's almost disappeared. In fact, it would be inappropriate for anyone else to sing it. He ministered on the Solway Firth in a little village called Annath, and one of the verses says, "Oh, Annath next the Solway, than all the earth more dear, e'en from the verge of heaven I drop for thee a tear. If one soul there from Annath meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land." What do you say? As we come before the Lord God, as we see the day appearing, oh, let us seek to enjoy our God together. Let us build one another up, and let us point each other to Jesus. for his name's sake. Amen.